Okay, welcome back to my retrospective series on the Cube trilogy. A trilogy that starts off great and ends incredibly poorly, much like most trilogies that aren't Lord of the Rings. Last time we talked about the original classic masterpiece, Cube, and I hope that you checked it out, because for this one and the following video, I will be discussing full spoilers for this movie. So I repeat, if you do not want the original Cube spoiled, please do not watch this video. Okay, so we will be discussing that, as well as the sequel, Cube 2, Hypercube. Now, this is not the most offensive film in the trilogy. We will reserve that for the next video. But I do have my problems with it, and it does also commit the cardinal sin of cheapening the film that preceded it. So, Cube 2. Very, very, very similar concept. In fact, basically the exact same plot. The setting is different, but it is the exact same plot. A bunch of strangers wake up in a cube-like maze and wonder what they're doing there. It's the exact same. So that by itself is already... Now, that is a common theme in any horror series, you know. It's hard to get away from that. You know, you look at any of the great horror series, you know, Halloween or Friday the 13th, you even can look at, you know, Saw. They usually repeat the same formula because it works. It's successful. And in that regards, it's not bad. Cube 2 is not a terrible film in its own right. In fact, I would say if you watched Cube 2 first for some odd reason and you had never seen Cube, you'd probably think it was okay. So, let's talk about the differences. There's a few more people in this one, okay? So, in the original film you had 7, although, you know, the Wren died pretty much right away, so you really had 6. Here we start with 8, I believe. You have Kate, the psychologist. You have a detective. You have a blind girl, very interesting. An engineer, a game developer, a lawyer, and an elderly woman. Who turns out to be, you know, an ex-doctor, whatever. And then there's also a colonel. Military colonel. And so they wake up in this cube environment. Now, the cube is different, as the title may suggest. It is now a hypercube. What does that mean? Well, really, it's a tesseract. A four-dimensional cube? Or is that 5 dimensions? I don't remember. It's the next step up from a cube. So basically, the traps now are no longer really, for the most part, physical traps. There is one that you could say is physical, but really it deals more with space and time. And that includes things like gravity reversing. There are traps that will suddenly age you, all kind of stuff that deals with space and time. That's the whole point. The different dimensions. And for that, in itself, is cool, right? It's cool. You could use this in like a science fiction pen and paper game as a dungeon or something cool, you know? You can use the original cube dungeon, you know, maze is a thing too, but it's like a logical step, right? You up your game to the next level. It's interesting. That is not my issue with the film. So, the movie itself is, again, very, very similar in concept. they don't know really why they're there, what they're doing there, what's going on. The problem is, here's where we get to the problem. In the original Cube film, and I'm giving spoilers here, nobody knew why this cube thing was there and why these people were put in. Nobody really knew anything, and no answers were given in the movie. You were left to your own thoughts, and it was awesome. I love that. Here, they start to, like, I don't know. It's a new director, a new writer, you know, it's all that kind of stuff. And they're like, well, we can't just tell them nothing. We have to leave, you know, we have to give them some hints and whatnot. There has to be something. You can't just have no info. That's crazy. Even though it worked amazing for the first movie. So, they introduce this company called Izon, which is a weapons manufacturer, weapons industry, whatever, you know, big military, you know what I'm talking about, Stark Industries. And all these people, you know, all the strangers realize that they are all connected to this weapons complex, whatever, somehow. Even the game developer came up with some program that dealt with, like, space real-time variables, and, you know, the engineer, like, designed the touch screens for in the cube. Some, you know, it's all kind of vague stuff like that. They're all connected somehow. And so you have now, you have, like, a name. You have, like, you have info where there was no info before. But you don't want info. The gap of information is what made the first movie so memorable. Is you had no idea. The characters had no idea. It was amazing. So they start to see this number as they go around the Tesseract. 60659. And, you know, they don't know what it is. They think it's a zip code or, you know, a date or blah, blah, blah. They're just trying to figure out the whole movie. And they, of course, die off one by one by one by one until only, really, Kate remains. And there's this other character named Alex Trusk. And Alex Trusk is a super genius. He's like the first... reportedly the first superhuman, and like he hacked into mainframes and he brought down like stock industry. He's just super genius, okay? And so he's also, I guess, thought to be the creator of the Tesseract because, well, who else could do it? It's revealed near the end that Sasha, the young blind girl, is actually Alex Trusk. Why she... just don't worry about it, okay? She's Alex Trusk. And Kate figures out, Kate's the hero, she figures out that the Tesseract is shrinking constantly. It's getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and eventually it will implode on itself, and they will all die. So, she has to get to, like, the center of the Tesseract and get out. And she realizes that 60659 is actually the time that the Tesseract will implode. So she gets her hands on Sasha or Alex's necklace, which is important for something. And she goes in this room, and there's like a black void there, and she jumps in right at 60659, and the hypercube implodes, and she gets out. And so we are treated to this scene.
Thank you. Hello, Kate. Welcome back. So, you figured it out.
Yes, sir. No time to spare.
The device. Any luck? We'll take that to Darcy and see if anything recorded on it.
Yes, sir. Phase two is terminated. I see. Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
It's terrible. I don't have to tell you why it's terrible. And the main problem is, there is no sequel to this film. That is all the information you ever get. No information is better than a sliver of information. Because then now it just feels like you're jerking us around. Whereas if we just left it off at the original cube, which ends with just, you know, Kazan just walking out into the light, and you're just, man, I wonder what that was all about, you know? That was really just a cool movie. Now it's like, where's my damn sequel, you assholes? You teased this, you left it on a complete cliffhanger, and you, why? I can't say, they got a third movie out of it, okay? They did. It's called Cube Zero, which we'll talk about next, which is just an atrocity. So, they went... That's a prequel, though. They went back in time to... And they reveal... Well, I'll get to that. I don't want to talk about it now. But we have no idea what happens after Hypercube. It just... As I said, it's an okay movie. And if you really, really want to see some more Cube action... This is the way to go instead of Cube Zero, but still, it should not have been made. It's one of those movies that should not be made, and I don't say that often. So, that is Cube 2 Hypercube. See, the first one had rules. Next time, we'll be talking about Cube Zero, which is an abomination on mankind and should just... Yeah.